committee will now turn to Senate Bill 18, which permits the summary disposition of certain contested cases. Senate Bill 18 is open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Good morning. My name is Jim Shackleton. I'm General Counsel for the South Dakota Board of Regents. Senate Bill 18 is a bill that wants to expressly incorporate into administrative procedure a pair of procedures that are well established in the circuit court context. Summary judgment is a procedure that is used to get rid of a case, so to speak, when there are no disputed issues of fact and the matter can be resolved as a question of law. If, for instance, a party has filed a complaint after the deadline for filing complaints has passed, so that it's untimely, there's no reason to go in and have a full evidentiary hearing in order to make a decision that would be dictated by the fact that the complaint was filed late. This is very commonly used. The South Dakota Supreme Court has characterized it as an integral part of our rules of procedure as a whole, and it's designed, and I quote, to secure the just, speedy, and inexpensive determination of every action. Now, for many years, we had assumed that this was available in under the Administrative Procedures Act. And in fact, in some cases, I have been able to obtain summary judgment. Recent, we had the question of whether its availability was disputed, and in some cases where I thought summary judgment was appropriate, we couldn't even get to the legal basis for my argument because the conclusion was made that it isn't available under the Administrative Procedures Act or under Chapter 318, the Public Employees Unions Act. So we have a situation in which we have administrative law judges who are handing down inconsistent decisions. What this bill would do would clarify the meaning of the statutes by stating that summary judgment is available in an administrative hearing, a contested case hearing. It incorporates into the Administrative Procedures Act, into the Public Employees Union Act, and into the Career Service Act, the very same standards for summary judgment that are present in the Code of Civil Procedure. So this is going to be the same evidentiary and legal basis that you would find in courts of law. That's the first part of the bill. This bill also picks up a procedure that is available in the circuit courts, and that is when one party has closed its evidence. It's possible to move for judgment on the basis of the evidence. If the party didn't have enough evidence to make out its claim, and so there's no point in making it could be the employee, it could be the employer, making the other party go forward with its evidence. It's exactly the same thing as happens in baseball. When you get to the top of the ninth and the team that was at bat is behind, there's no point in playing the bottom of the ninth inning because we know who's going to win the game. Well, by allowing courts to issue a judgment at the close of a party's evidence, you get the same efficiencies, if you will. You don't have to put everybody to the time and expense of going through a full evidentiary hearing when it turns out that somebody simply hasn't got the evidence. If you go back to my case involving a filing as late, if there's no evidence that the filing was on time, then there's no point in going to the rest of the hearing. Okay, the bill is fairly straightforward. It isn't going to be weighted in favor of state agencies. It isn't going to be only an employment type of activity. It's going to apply. We're amending the Administrative Procedures Act, so it's going to be available to all kinds of boards and commissions. Before bringing the bill to the legislature, I did contact attorneys who were involved with the Department of Labor, the Career Service Act, or the Career Service Commission, and with some of the state agencies that conduct administrative hearings. Be happy to answer any questions about the technical or policy aspects of the bill when the appropriate time.
Thank you. We will hold questions. Further proponents of Senate Bill 18.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Sandy Zinter, and I'm with the Bureau of Personnel. And I can't add much to what Dr. Shackleton said, but I did want to let you know that I'm here because we do have the Career Service Commission, and we use the contested case section of the administrative hearing process to handle employee appeals, and we think that this would be a good addition to that section of the code and would urge your support. I'm available for questions.
Thank you. Again, we will hold questions. Further proponents of Senate Bill 18.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Leo Disberg. I'm with the Bureau of Administration. This bill has the support of the Bureau as well. As Mr. Shackleton said, it's very straightforward. The purpose of a hearing is to develop the facts of the case. If, in the language of this bill, there's no genuine issue as to any material fact, then a hearing doesn't serve any purpose. The material facts have already been established. Again, this bill would permit the same process that's used in the courts to be used in the administrative hearing setting, and it would serve the same purpose, increasing efficiency and reducing costs where there are no dispute or there is no dispute as to the material facts of the case. For those reasons, the Bureau of Administration urges your support of the bill.
Thank you, sir. Again, we'll hold questions. Further proponents in Senate Bill 18. Are there any further proponents? Seeing none, we'll close the committee hearing to proponent testimony and open it to any opponents of Senate Bill 18. Are there any opponents? I'll ask one more time. Are there any opponents to Senate Bill 18? Seeing none, I'll close the committee hearing to opponent testimony and open it to questions from the committee. We will waive rebuttal. Are there any questions from the committee? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Shackleton, maybe, or whoever. I'm unclear as to who's deciding, like on page one, the new subsections. Is that a judge deciding? Is that a state employee deciding? Is that a hearing examiner who would have some experience? Am I deciding? Who's deciding?
Well, the Administrative Procedures Act does not specify how administrative agencies have to configure the conduct of an administrative hearing. So it's going to vary somewhat depending upon the rules and practices of individual agencies. The Department of Labor, for instance, always uses a law-trained hearing examiner when it conducts hearings. The Career Service Commission, the hearing is conducted by the commissioners, but they will have a law-trained hearing examiner who rules on questions of evidence and assists the commission in trying to make legal decisions. But ultimately, the way that code is configured, the Career Service Commission makes the decision. The Board of Regents does, there would be one set of employees in which we would have contested case hearings, and our practice has always been to assign these cases to a law-trained hearing examiner. The nursing board, I believe, has a board of nurses that makes the decision, but again, with the assistance of a law-trained hearing examiner to address legal and evidentiary issues. So the way you have the Administrative Procedures Act configured, I can't give you an always this way or always that way answer. I think that I am not aware of anybody who does not try to bring in a law-trained hearing examiner at least to assist the lay board in making decisions on legal questions.
Yes, you may.
Thank you. You know, you concern me a little bit when you say law-trained. I get this vision of somebody who's riding a red book in with training wheels on. And when you say law-trained, is that a lawyer? Because,
yeah.
You know, it says judgment as a matter of law, legally insufficient.
Sure.
Are these things appealable as well?
Yes, they are fully appealable. Generally, I am using a term of art. Yes, it would generally be an attorney who is serving as hearing examiner or who is advising the board. In terms of the question of law, if I'm anticipating your apprehension, assume that there is no procedure like this. What is going to happen?
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I could, I just want to short-circuit the process. I'm coming in, and you're the law-trained guy.
Okay.
And you say, I don't have a case as a matter of law, mm-hmm. and I'm done. Can I appeal that?
Absolutely.
Where do I go?
You go to circuit court.
Thank you.
And if I might add.
Yes, you may.
Suppose that this procedure isn't available. And the plaintiff or the defendant, let's use plaintiff, comes in and says, look, I'm entitled to judgment against this employer as a matter of law. Employer says, no, we have to have a hearing. Hearing examiner cannot grant the employee's summary judgment. You have the hearing. It goes up to the circuit court. If the employee is right, circuit court is going to send it back down.
Okay. Further questions? Representative Brown?
I have a question here, too. So don't jump yet. Thank you. I'm assuming that when we're talking on line 5, all parties, and later on we talk in line 6, which is your new material, that a motion of any party, we're just talking about parties involved in the disagreement here? I'm just trying to decide. Motion on line 6, page 1, on your underline, you've added, however, each agency upon the motion of any party, is any party relate back to a participant of the group of parties in line 5, which is all parties, which is part of the original?
I am confounded because I only have brought with me the Senate engrossed version of the bill, so I'm not reading all parties on line 5. Oh, I'm sorry. I see it.
Are we in the same bill?
Yes.
I mean, I've been on the wrong bill on occasion, so I could be wrong. I might be reading the wrong bill.
No.
You'll go back, please, then, on line 5.
Sure.
In the law right now, it talks about all the parties that are involved in this unfortunate situation. But then it says later on that a motion of any party may dispose of any defense claim.
Correct.
To whom are we referring to when we talk about any party?
All right. It's going to vary on the...
It'll vary on the...
But generally, you're going to have a petitioner.
Okay.
Let's say if it's an employment dispute, it's going to be the employee and the employer.
Okay.
So either the are the parties, and either one may bring the motion.
Okay. If we might, Mr. Chairman, if I might follow up on that. Then if you go to line 9, we talk about you can make this motion. And let's just say the employer. I'm the employee. You're the employer. I come in. I have this problem. And you are the employer, and you say, because any party can do this, you really don't have a genuine issue here. Therefore, we're going to. This sort of eliminates a nice negotiable process to begin with, unless the employer wants to play hardball, so you appeal it and we'll make you keep jumping through all the hoops. How is the employee protected in that regard?
Well, the employee is protected to the extent that...
They have to go to the next appellate step.
Well, but so does the employer. In fact, this really is neutral as to employee-employer. There's a huge case out of New York in which the employees brought a suit against the city of New York and the New York School District on a Fair Labor Standards Act claim. They came in and said, look, we don't need to go to the expense of a hearing over this. We've got thousands of plaintiffs here. All we have to do is look at their policy, look at the Fair Labor Standards Act, and see that they violated it. Motion for summary judgment granted. And it cuts it right off. So it's not weighted one side or the other as to plaintiffs or defendants, employees, employers. If you don't have a case, if it's a bad faith defense, then the employee should have the ability to go in and strike the bad faith defense. If it's a bad faith claim, then the employer should have the ability to go in and strike the bad faith claim. If any of you have ever been sued, you know what happens. You get this laundry list of complaints. My God, you'd think you're the worst person on the face of the earth. And then the first thing that you do is you start knocking off some of those complaints and whittling it down to what is the real part of the dispute. Well, that process is saying, look, we're getting rid of the claims that don't make any sense, that don't fit the facts, that don't fit the law. Well, sometimes when you're done whittling, there's nothing left, and that's when you have a motion for summary judgment. But those of you who've been sued are probably familiar with the case that people will throw everything they can think of up against the wall to see if anything sticks. This is the procedure we have in law to say that we don't have to go and have a hearing on every single thing that somebody's thrown into a complaint.
Further questions from the committee? Any further questions? Seeing none, I'll close the committee hearing to questions and open it up for discussion and action on Senate Bill 18. Is there a second?
Second.
Representative Olson moves. Representative Jasper seconds. A do pass motion on Senate Bill 18. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none, the motion before the committee is the do pass motion on Senate Bill 18. Those in favor of the motion shall say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary shall call the roll.
Brown.
Aye.
Curious.
Aye.
Lenski.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Jaspers.
Aye. Junky.
Aye.
Michaels.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Anybody want consent?
Consent.
Representative Hansen moves. Representative Schmidt seconds. Consent. Those in favor shall say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Eight.
Give a shot.
I'm trying. Senate Bill 18 is on consent.